Okay, so last couple of days we've been, you know, discussing the sugya of Mitzvah Kriyas Shema D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan. We're coming towards the end of it. Today is probably the second to last shir on the topic. There's the overall structure of this sugya. We started off by pinning down the makaros about whether Kriyas Shema is D'Rabbanan or D'Oraisa. Then within the normative shita that Kriyas Shema D'Oraisa, we went through the five different versions of what is the shir Kriyas Shema D'Oraisa. If in fact Kriyas Shema is D'Oraisa, but how much of Kriyas Shema is D'Oraisa? And then we transitioned last year already in starting to discuss the various nafka mina of Kriyas Shema D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan. Right? So yesterday's shir was all about the potential nafka mina of Kavana, right? As with many cases, right? D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan is not the only factor, but it's one of the factors contributing towards the machlokes about what is the shir of Kavana. Today, I'd like to cover two more potential nafka minas, starting with the Din Amida, and then transitioning to the issue of Ne'nas B'Shena. So starting off with this Din of Amida. So right off the bat, even before we get to the Gemara itself, the Yerushalmi points out Right off the bat, what we're not talking about, right? You might have said that if, right, when you saw a Gemara which says, oh, there's a din of amida, what might you have said, David? That you dafka have to stand. La'afuke, what?
You have to stand only if you're, it's a stand place only if you're walking.
Meaning, if you were just to see a Gemara which says, oh, there's a requirement of amida, of standing, you would say, oh, there's a requirement of amida. Generally, what is amida in contrast to?
Sitting.
That's what you would assume. Oh, standing, you must stand in contrast to sitting. But why in our Sugya Tzvi, why can't you learn that the Amida here is in contrast to sitting? What would that be? To say you, that would be Shittas Beis Shammai. So again, the background to the Sugya is the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on the Mishnah on Yudam and Beis. Right? Beis Shammai is, that at least when it comes to Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris, that ufkumecha means you dafka have to stand. That ufkumecha b'shakmecha ufkumecha have to do the physical positions that shitas Beis Shammai. But we know from that Mishnah that not only, right, do we paskin like Beis Hillel, that what is Jack, what does b'shakmecha ufkumecha mean according to Beis Hillel? It's not about physical position, but it's rather
the
timing of the day. Zman shechiva, zman kima. But we also know from the story of Rabbi Tarfon at the end of the Mishnah that not only do we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, but you're not allowed to paskin like Beit. You're not allowed to follow Beit Shammai. Right? Bad things happened to Rabbi Tarfon when he tried to follow Beit Shammai. So again, right off the bat, Yerushalmi is going to tell us that the din of Amida here is not standing in contrast to sitting. It's rather, Lisha, what? Standing in what context? Exactly. In the context of Mahalich, if you're on the Derech, you're walking, so the din of Amida is to stand still and not to continue walking. So let's just see the Yerushalmi, which is quoted again in the beginning of Tosos. Eliyahu, do you have the Tosos? So you gimel amad beis. Tosos yiramaskol al livavecha ba'amida. Right off the bat, it's going to quote the Yerushalmi, which is important background for this sugya.
Al livavecha ba'amida. Yerushalmi mefarish lav di'ihaya yoshev oimid.
Oh, don't say the pshat is, right, standing in contrast to sitting. Oh, it's rather that if you're in the middle of walking, you should take a pause and stand. Stop there. We'll get to the details of what you just read in a moment. But again, important background, right? Again, that the Amida here is not to preclude Amida and not Yeshiva, but rather it's Amida in contrast to Mahalach. Okay, good. So now let's get to our Gemara in terms of, okay, so what's the shiur, right? How much of Kriyas Shema requires Amida? So we're going to see in the Gemara that there are two different shitos, but in the Rishonim, / the Gaonim, really in the Rishonim, there comes out a third shita. So let's see the, right off the bat, the Gemara. Ariel, do you have it? So again, this is Gemara and Yud Gimel on Beis. 6 or 7, middle wide, you know, the middle wide lines down. Amar of Nasan bar Mar Ukva Amar of Yehuda.
Amar of Nasan
bar Ukva Amar of Yehuda.
Al-Avakos there?
Yeah, exactly.
Al-Avakos.
Rashi Gemara right, reverse says Alav Vechol Amidah. It sounds like you only need to stand during those two words of Alav Vechol. The Gemara says Alav Vechol Alav Tzedek. You daf have to stand during those two words. Why would that make any sense? No. So rather means you need to stand for the first three psukim. From fourth pasuk onwards, you don't. So the first shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that the shir of Amida is the first three psukim. That's the first shita. And we'll see later the Gaonim, quoted by both the Rosh and the Rashba, paskin like the shita. Right? So the right, so you have the shita Amarayim, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gaonim, quoted by the Rosh. And the Rashba also paskin like the shita, that the din of Amida is for the first three psukim.
When we're walking, we have to stand.
Exactly. This whole sugya of Amida is in the context of Mahalech. You have to take a pause from your walking to stand. Never saying that if you're sitting, you have to stand, because that would be Shitas Beis Shammai that we don't pass
by.
The Rosh and the Rashba, both called the Gaonim. We'll get back to that. So the next shita. So Rabbi Yochanan shita number two, that the entire first parsha requires Amida, and we'll get back to what the Gemara says next. So again, so in terms of the Gemara itself, you have two shitos. Shita number one is the first three psukim. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, paskin by the Gaonim. The second shita is the first parsha. Is that a hand? Sweet. What? So it seems, I don't think he says that shot here. That was Marshal's Ha'ara. Because here's this ad Alev Avecha. The words, right, the words Alev Avecha are the end of the third pasuk. It would be hard to say that ad Alev Avecha means ad velo ad b'chlal. Right? Tosus Dafka said that in Shittas Rav Eliezer, on Yugim Lamed Aleph, where the words were, where the focus were Ha'ela. Right, Mayuad from Ha'ela, that's toward the beginning of the pasuk. That's what the Marsha's Ha'ara from yesterday, where the Marsha says, this Gemara seems to be right to Rashi. Right? Because this idea of three psukim being a category. Okay, so I think even Tosus agrees that this is the first three psukim. Oh. Rabbi Yochanan says the first parsha. Oh. But although there is no third shita in the Gemara, their Rishonim say there's a third shita. What's that third shita? What? Exactly, the first pasuk. And the earliest source for this is actually the Medrash Tanchuma quoted in Tosfos. So go back to Tosfos. Yisivchein Isa b'Tanchuma. I guess you were reading it. Elio? Right, he just wrote the line before we'll get back to it. He says you only need Pasuk Rishon. What's the makor for this?
Yisivchein Isa b'Tanchuma. Rav Yehuda b'Shem Shmuel Amar Asa l'kabel alav alachul shemayim.
Right. So again, the earliest makor for the third shita is this Medrash Tanchuma, which says all you need the din of Amida for is for pasuk Rishon. So again, as we saw Tosfos in the Rishonim paskins like this. You have the Medrash Tanchuma says first pasuk. Tosfos is going to paskin like this. We'll get back to the Lashon in a moment. Which other Rishonim paskin that you only need pasuk Rishon? Rishonim. The Rush. So you have the Tosfos, you have the Rush, and the Rambam. Right? The Rambam in Kriyat Shema, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, and the Rif. Okay, good. Right? Exactly. So you have Tosfos, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, all saying pasuk Rishon. Okay? So those are just... The Gaonim found in the Rush, but the Rush himself, Paskins, they only need Pasuk Rishon. So those are the three Shitos. But now let's get to the Lamdas of what is the nature of the Din of Amida. What type of Din is it? So I have to ask you, what seems to be the Pash Pshat in most of the Rishonim? Where does this Din stem from? What type of Din is this? This Din of the need to stop walking and to say Kriyat Shema while stationary. Exactly. So the prevalent shita in the Rishonim is that Amida stem is a din in Kavana. And the idea is that, which makes sense, when you're in the middle of walking and busy doing something, it's harder to concentrate. So we require you to stand, to pause, so that you can collect your thoughts to have proper Kavana. According to this first mahalach, that the nature of the din of Amida is it a din in Kavana, so then obviously it's sheer, Eliyahu should tie it to what? The sheer in Kavana, as we will see. So if you think that the din of Amida is a din in Kavana, so you would assume that the sheer of Amida should directly align with the sheer of Kavana, namely our discussion from yesterday's sheer. So let's see, in many cases that is the case, but we're going to see there are certain discrepancies. So what's the earliest indication of this from the Gemara, that the din of Amida is a din in Kavana? Excellent, excellent. So Eliyahu, would you mind? So the earliest indication that Amida is a din in Kavana comes from the Gemara itself, right, when it says that Rav Yochanan is Latameh, when Rav Yochanan is Lashitasa. So the simple pshat here is going to say, let's see the Gemara. All right, after quoting Rav Yochanan as saying that the Kol HaParsha requires Amida, right, it says, if Oz Rav Yochanan Tameh, you see that, Eliyahu? Yeah. Oh. Right. Exactly. This is the Rav Yochanan earlier on the top of the Amid, where Pasen is like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva, right, that the Shir of Kavana is only Parsha Rishona. So the simple interpretation of this Gemara is that these two Shittos align because they're really one din. The din of Amida and the din of Kavana are really all the same din of Kavana, and therefore Rav Yochanan Lashitaso, because it's all a din in Kavana. That's the earliest makor for this idea that that Amida is a din in Kavana. But now let's see Rishonim, who are going to really explicate, right, this idea. So it starts with Rashi. You see Rashi, Dira Maskel Ba'amida. Right, Ezreal, do you see it? Dira Maskel Ba'amida. And you Gimel and Bay is like halfway down. The first word. The first word on the line is Ba'amida.
Yeah. I think the Lebes Hill, the Amri Husky Gimel from Kodan Mahak and Kodan Mogan.
Oh, that's the key at the end, right? Explaining, even Beis Hillel agrees you're still supposed to pause. Lefisha ad kan mitzvahs kavana. So Rashi clearly learning that the din of Amida is a din in kavana. After Rashi, which other Rishon also seems to say this? We sort of skip the key line on purpose. Yes, the Rush, but before the Rush, Tosos, right? I sort of strategically, you know, had you not read this line, but if you go back to the middle of Tosfos, Tosfos says v'chein halacha. I think is this Eliyahu was in the middle of reading it. See Tosfos in the middle. It says v'chein halacha. Right before he quotes the Tanchuma.
V'chein halacha de mahalach b'derech mitzvah lamaid b'pasuk echad. V'idan kavana b'pasuk rishonu levad.
Oh, that's the key. Why does he paskin that you only need Amida for Pasuk Rishon? The Be'in and Kavana, but Pasuk Rishon Levad. Right? So Tosos, again, explains that the din of Amida is a din of Kavana, and therefore the Shir should tie into the Shir of Kavana. And if you remember, Tosos Shitaso, in the Dira Maskel, in the previous Tosfos, Dira Maskel Omar Rabba, he paskin like Rabba and Rabbi Meir, that Kavana is only required for Pasuk Rishon. So again, Rashi and Tosfos, again, agreeing, with the Pashas of the Gemara, who makes the Tzliya between Rav Yochanan and Shitaso. And then as Yehuda said, is the Rush, right? Let's go to the Rush. This is in Perek Bey's Simen Gimel. I'm going to have him turn to the Rush. Yeah.
Said that the Mitzvah in a Mokbar should be Lama. So, but we're saying it's related to Kavana, so it's not that you're saying that Kavana is the ancient Kavana?
That's a good question. I think, so Boaz is asking, wait a second, if Amida is a din in Kavana, and Kavana is Ma'akev, so why does Tosfos call it a mitzvah minim of Chari? Oh, great question. And then the answer is, because it is possible to have Kavana even while walking. So I think it's saying, a mitzvah minim of Chari to ensure that you have Kavana by being Omid, but since it's possible to have Kavana even by Mahalech, therefore it's only a din of mitzvah minim of Chari. Okay, that's an excellent question. I think that's the answer. So to go to the Rush, again, it's a couple lines in, right, once he gets to the Sugya of Amida, and the Oz V'Hadar, it's like two lines down on Amud Chafes. I'm not sure that's all the Oz V'Hadars are the same. When he quotes the Gemara, right? First he quotes the two shitos in the Gemara of either three psukim or the first parsha. Then it says the leis hilchasa. This is four lines down in my version. Do you have a mayor? You see the leis in the Rosh of the leis hilchasa lo karav nasan velo karav Yochanan. Right after quoting the. Oh, exactly. Oh, and one more line, the kicker. Right, so the Rosh says, again, admitting that it's a little strange, there are two shitas in the Gemara, and I'm, the Rosh, going to paskin a third shita, because he says, really, don't really blame me too much, because really, Amidah is a din of Kavana, and since in the previous sugya, we passed it like Rei Meir, and like Rava, so what comes out is there's a third shitak of that Amidah is really only required for the first pasuk. So you have Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rosh all explicitly stating that Amidah is a din in Kavana, and therefore the Shir should be exactly the same. This brings us now to the Rashba. So the Rashba is going to agree that Amidah is a din in Kavana, but there's going to be a major twist. The twist is going to be that the shear of Amidah is going to be different than the shear of Kavana. And the Rashba is going to point out that there are going to be, seems to be stiras in between different sugyas, all similarly being dinam in Kavana, but yet there are major discrepancies in terms of the shi'ur. And therefore the Rashba is going to have to give a hezber, which is going to tie this all together. But let's look at the, again, this is the Rashba al-Atar, Yud Gimel and Beis, Zeru Maskel Rav Yochanan Amar. Anybody have the Rashba? Alicia, do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see, right off the bat, it's going to be clear that it's a din in Kavana, but then it's going to bring some stiros. So right off the bat, right? So this sugya seems to be connected to which sugya? The Kavana Salev sugya. Therefore, right. He says, because it's a din in Kavana, therefore the psak of the Rif and the Rambam makes a lot of sense that the din of Amidah is also only one pasuk. But there's an issue. The problem is that the Gaonim paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, namely, right, that you only require Amidah, not only for the first pasuk, but for all the first three psukim. And therefore, this can be a problem, because yet, the assumption seems to be that the Gaonim don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that the Kavanah is also required by the first three psukim. It doesn't seem to be the pshat. It seems like even though they paskin by Kavanah, they only need pasuk Rishon. So again, there's a discrepancy. Even though Amidah is a din of Kavanah, yet the shear of Amidah is three psukim, even though we paskin that the shear of Kavana is pasuk Rishon. So continue on the Rashba. Therefore, they ask is a stira between the sugyas. Right, so again, so we have the three-way stira. In the sugya of Kavana, one pasuk suffices. When it comes to Amidah, three psukim are required. But yeah, when it comes to the Poalim, and as we'll see from the other sugya of, right, just this, right, your gestures or gesticulating, right, when you're making signs with your hands or your eyes or whatever, they're also, or the sugya in Yoma that I had you see, they're also, what is the shear?
The whole parsha.
The whole parsha, parsha Rishona. So it's a three-way stira. They all seem to be dinim in Kavana, says the Rashba. But yet, by Kavana, Pasuk Rishon. By Amidah, three psukim. When it comes to the Poalim, when it comes to the Yikrots Be'enav, you need the first parsha. So how do you resolve this three-way stira? And here you need the three psukim. So how are you going to understand this three-way stira? And again, Rashba Lashitaso, right, thinks that Amidah is a din in Kavana. So how are you going to account for all these theorists? So he's about to quote the Ritz Gaius, who has a creative resolution. Right, known as the Ritz Gaius.
Oh, Mote Shadaso Yusheves Alav.
So right off the bat, he's not rejecting his assumption that these are all dinim in kavana, right? If you can tell, his lashon is always daitom yusheves alav kidei tis yashiv daitom. It is all about kavana, but what's his chiluk? Yeah, but what is the determining factor of how much?
How much command do you need?
Based on what?
What else
is exactly. How preoccupied you are. Right? What, right? How, you know, how distracted you are. So says the Ritz Geyes, when it comes to the standing of Kavana, where one pasuk suffices, right? That's where you're basically doing nothing. You're Yoshev, you're Stam, you're Yoshev, you're Omid, you're stationary. Either stationary sitting, stationary, you know, standing. Either way, you're not preoccupied at all. So sit in the stam case where you're not preoccupied at all. So therefore, kavana by the first pasuk suffices. But why? But in context of amida, there you're mahalich. Obviously, when you're walking, you're doing something, right? Mahalich she'in daitam yusheves love. You're obviously distracted because you're obviously traveling somewhere. So there, in order to get yourself in the right frame of mind, tzarech lamod, namely for three psukim, there, because you're, you know, preoccupied to a certain extent, you need three psukim to again make it clear that the mitzvah, as we'll see, is important to you. Let's just finish up the piece and then I'll get your question. But what do you mean? When do you need the entire parsha? Let's see. But the makoros, which require the entire first parsha, that's where you're being umsik b'malacha, which is more than just traveling. Traveling is you're traveling, but here you're actually working. So there, you need the entire first parsha. And there's some very important lashonos coming up. Oh, that's a very, very important line, right? If we only made you pause for either one pasuk or three pasukim, so then with nimseis, the implication coming out is that mitzvah kala olav, right? Because you're only stopping for one or three psukim when you're in the middle of being osik, that shows that the mitzvah is not so important to you. Hilkach, right? So there, in that context, where you're so preoccupied with something very important, something that's taking up a lot of your concentration, so there you need to be mafsik for the entire first parsha to show that the mitzvah is important to you. One couple more lines. Then he adds, "Remizu kritza keisak b'malacha dama." Obviously, if you're communicating with someone, it means you're obviously very distracted, and therefore that is similar to osik b'malacha that we require the entire first parsha. So just sum up, and then I'll take Aaron. Right, I'm not pushing you off, right? So the Rashi v'shita is that yes, the Rashi agrees with Rashi and Tosfos in the Rush that amida is a din in kavana, but the Rashi says kavana is not an end to itself. Kavana is like a shiur in showing proper respect to the mitzvah. This idea of not being mitzvah kala olav, or in the positive sense, according to the Rashba here, that emas ha-mitzvah olav. Since kavana is a shiur in showing that you have proper respect for the mitzvah, so it's a sliding scale. To use the lashon my father-in-law uses, right? It's a sliding scale that the more preoccupied you are, the more of a break you have to take to show that the mitzvah is important to you. The less preoccupied you are, the less of a break you have to take to show that the mitzvah is important to you. So while the Rashba agrees that it's a din in kavana, kavana is a shear in the emas ha-mitzvah being olav, and therefore there's a sliding scale in terms of how much you have to take a break to show that the mitzvah is important to you. All right.
No.
It is a shir in kavana because he clearly says all about daitom yusheves lab. But for him, kavana is not the end goal. Kavana is a shir in showing respect, kovid rosh, for the mitzvah. And therefore, there is a sliding scale. That's why I'm trying to be very meduyak here, right? Right? The Rashba throughout has this lashon of, right, yishvadas, which sounds like kavana. But because he also says it's about getting the imas ha-mitzvah olav, or to prevent you from being showing the mitzvah's kala olav, then therefore, there's a different shear of kavana depending on the counter pressure. Yeah.
I thought what you were saying is really you only need kavana for the first pasuk, but if a person is doing something and he's very into and he's going to take such a small break, then the mitzvah is going to seem so light to him that he's not going to have the kavana for it. Whereas if he sets aside a significant amount of time, that he'll be able to have kavana.
So you're saying like you were saying like two different dinim? There's a din in kavana and there's a din in.
There's only din in kavana, but the kavana he has is related to how important
you
use the
mitzvah. Oh, so I think you're saying the same thing I'm saying. Meaning, they're all dinim in kavana, but you need to have active kavana about. We require a different level of active kavana, right, depending on how preoccupied, how distracted you are. Right? Because the whole point is that you don't want to come away, right? When you lack kavana, about something, you're showing that's not important to you, right? So to me, kavana is a shear in the emas hamitzvah olav. Yeah.
So I thought the reverse.
Okay.
That instead of it being what's caused by the kavana, it causes the kavana. That if you choose the mitzvah very casually, then he won't have kavana. Right?
Yeah. Sure, right. But the way I thought the lashon is. If you don't require so much kavana, then nimseis mitzvah kala olav. That's the direction that I'm saying. Is that we require a certain shear of kavana to ensure that you have the proper emas ha-mitzvah, and that you don't have the mitzvah kala. And they work in both directions. They're not stiras, but I just think, you know, halachically, the sequence is that we require kavana to make sure that you're giving off the proper respect towards the mitzvah, emas ha-mitzvah, olav. And the reason why they're connected is because you're right, because the less ema you have for a mitzvah, the less focus you have on it. So I don't think it's a serious. Alicia?
Could one argue that emas ha-mitzvah isn't just kavana, but it's also like the Rif says about kvias?
So we'll get to that in a moment. I would say it relates to both, but I think that the Rashba's version of it is that we want you to have kavana to show proper respect towards it. We'll see the Rosh B'Shem the Gaonim, a different version of it. But I think in the Rashba, I think it's Meduyuk in his Lashon, that it's a din kavana, but kavana itself is a shir in Emas HaMitzvah. So that. Oh, same. Chavrusas. Hashem. Yeah.
Is he saying kavana? That the kavana of the first pasuk is the same kind of kavana for the other things, because I took it to be that the kavana for the first pasuk is like Oma for Shemaim, that you have to kavana for Inyan. But the other stuff, it's just that you're just distracted, you're multitasking. And so therefore, if you're walking, then it's like you have to focus on the, meaning kavana in just the normal.
That's a good point. Meaning
it's focus.
You're putting this Rashba with the previous one.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, you're right. That could be. The sugi of kavana for the Rashba is kavana sa Inyan. This Amida version of Kavana is more of like, more similar to like Kavana Latte, is to be focused on the mitzvah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that I agree with. Yeah, exactly, 100%. That I agree with.
I think that was more the way Alicia and I were reading that, that's what Krios is a separate din of Kavana. As there are two types of Kavana. There's Kavana for the first pasuk, which the Rashba mentions that you have to, if you're not doing anything, you just have to have Kavana you have to have Kavana in the Pasuk Rishon, but then he goes on to the other two steps and he doesn't mention Kavana again.
It's all about Daita Miyushevas a lot.
Right, but he doesn't mention the word like Kavana anymore. So okay. It's a different type of Kavana.
Okay, but I think it's still a focus. You'll see what I'm contrasting this, you'll see, with the Gaonim, with the Gaon in the Rive, which I think is a completely separate din than Kavana. Elio. So one more time, a little louder.
What made the Rashba change the Pasuk Shad of the Lazar to not hold like the Nusra and not hold like the Lazar?
Because it seems like we paskin. Seems like he agrees that we paskin like Rabbi Meir by Kavana. You're saying you could have just said, "Oh, that mean the Rabbi Yehuda by Amida three psukim is l'shitaso is aligns with Rabbi Eliezer shita, like the Marsha is doing. Like the Marsha is saying that shita's Rashi in Rabbi Eliezer works well with Rabbi Yehuda by Amida." So number one, I don't know about it. Tosas obviously wouldn't hold that way because it's a different shear. Tosas thinks that Eliezer shear is two psukim. And I think for the Rashba, I don't know that that's the point, but I think for the Rashba, he thinks that these Gaonim, who pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, to require three psukim by Amida, agree that Kavana is only by one pasuk. What?
Why did they pass like Rabba by Amida?
By Amida? Because, well, there is no Rabba by Amida. I think they're saying is that, wait a second, there is no third shita by Amida. By Amida, it's a different sugya, right? It sounds like, right, there the option is three psukim or one parsha, right? One pasuk mantakar shmei. So therefore, they want to say that, you know, even though they're both din and kavana, there's a sliding scale. Yeah.
With the kavana, the rabbi, the thing you need to have if you're more distracted, he's not saying in the derisive, he's saying the al of that meaning. It's not that you need to have kavana, but it's a sheer
kavana. It sounds like, and I have this to Dobie's point, it sounds like, yeah, you need to have kavana for the first three psukim, but we're assuming that Dobie's correct, that the sheer kavana here is not the kavana, not the kavana, say, any of the Rashba's kavana's al macha shemayim, but just to be focused on the mitzvah. Exactly, that's what it sounds like.
But Rashba said that kavana's
last days doesn't
exist by
creation. He's just saying, when in the sugya of Adkan Tzricham Kavana, that's a Kavana Sa'in.
Right.
But in Echanami, in the Sugya, there is a concept of not being distracted by other things. Okay, good. So Adkan, right, is the first Mahalach in Amida, that Amida is a Din and Kavana. Who is the other Shita in the Rishonim?
Right.
The Rivet. So if you look, let's go back to the Rush. So the Rush, right, is going to quote the Rivet as having a completely different understanding of what Amida is all about. So going back to Simon, Perek Beis Simon Gimel, right? The Ravid is going to, the Ravid B'shem the Gaonim, or B'shem the Gaon, is going to have a different understanding of what the Din of Amida is all about. I don't have the Rush? Open? Got it? Okay, Gabriel. So this is the Ravid Kasa B'shem Gaon. Oh, and that's already from the riff? Because not because you need kavana for all this, it's rather to chashiv kriyas arai. Right? Again, this remiza, right? If you were reading kriyashma, if you were reciting kriyashma while being being merames, that transforms the kriya into a kriyas arai. So chenami. Oh, very important. So too, you need to be omade, because if you were to recite kriyat shema while walking, that would make it into a kriyas arai. Oh, so now the kasha that he asks on himself is that once the ravid is explaining that the din of amida is not a din in kavana, but it's rather a din in kriyas keva. So the question is, all the makoros that he just brought, what's their shear? The shear of remiza, that's always parsha. So now he asks that himself, the hadla bayi. Exactly. So we'll get back to this in a moment, but the Rosh says, don't worry why the shear is different. The reason why the shear of Amida is only three psukim, because in the fourth pasuk, it says a belechtecha baderech, which shows that you're allowed to walk while reciting Kriyat Shema. Okay, we'll break this all down in just a moment. So again, it's clear from this Ravid B'Shem the Gaon, right, that the din in Amida is not a din in Kavana, it's rather a din in Kriyas Arai versus Kriyas Keva. And that's how you would understand the chiluk in shir and the kavana. Why, even though the shir of kavana is only pasuk rishon, but the reason why here you need three psukim because it's a different din. It's not a din in kavana. It's a din that when you're reading, you have to show that you're doing it in a chashuv permanent, significant way, because, you know, otherwise you're showing that the mitzvah is not important to you. But then the big question that we just saw is, okay, we understand the discrepancy between Amida and Kavana, because they're two different dinim, but if we're saying that Amida is a din in Kriyas Keva versus Kriyas Arai, so then why is the shear different? So he answers, oh, because of the Pasuk of Balak B'Chavadarach. The question is, what does that mean? What does that really mean? So I think what the Rush means is that, meaning, what is the requirement of Kriyas Keva? Is that Pasuk Rishon needs Kriyas Keva? Sorry, is that partial Rishona? Or is that just the first three Pesukim? So I think the answer is that really the din of Kriyas Keva is the entire first Parsha. And that's why when it comes to Bittul B'Malacha and the Rif, that's when it comes to Remiza in Yoma, the Shir is the entire Parsha Rishona. So you're saying even when it comes for all dinam Kriyas Keva, a permanent significant Kriya is required for the entire Parsha. Oh, but why is Amida only required for the first three Pesukim? So when he says that, oh, because the pasuk says a blech techavaderech, I think what that means is, so therefore, because that fourth pasuk says that you say Shema while walking, that shows you that if you were to recite Kriyat Shema while walking, that won't be a bittul in Kriyas Keva. You can still be considered to be a Kriyas Keva even while walking, because you're being mekayim the pasuk of uvelech techavaderech. So therefore, while reading that fourth pasuk, which says "Belech Chavaderech," you start walking. That's not showing that, oh, it's now a kriya arai. It shows that you're being mekayim the pasuk. And if anything, maybe there's a value of Belech Chavaderech. What is the pasuk trying to tell us when you read Kriya Shema Belech Chavaderech? What does it say? That you're allowed to walk, and wherever you go. Wherever you go, this inyan of Kriya Shema is important. So when you're walking while reading that pasuk, it's not. That walking is not a simon to Kriyas Arai. It's rather just a kiyam in that pasuk of Avlech Techavaderech, which is this value of saying Shema wherever you are. Now I'll take questions. I think Tzvi was asking. Raise your hand for a while. Yeah.
This is the Rush explaining the other.
This is the Ravid B'Shem the Gaon. The Rush's own shita is at the Din and Kavan. Now he quotes the Ravid as a different shita. That's not a Din and Kavana. It's a Din in Kriyas Keva versus Kriyas Arai. Leo. Because the first three psukim, where we haven't yet said Blech Lechavaderech, so if you were to walk while doing that, that would be a chisaron of Kriyas Arai. What? The way this shot, the way the Ravid is saying it, Vishem the Gaon, is that it's Davko and that Pasuk, Mikano Laba, once you say Belech Techavaderech, I mean, once you've established for the first three Pesukim, when you read it, Ba'amida, that this is a Kriyas Keva, so then when you only start walking, when it says Belech Techavaderech, it's like a Kiyam, right? So then the walking is not a Chisaron of Arai, it's rather a Kiyam of Belech Techavaderech.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. Yeah, and therefore your Amida is not taken as a chisaron of Arai, but it's rather seen as, oh, I'm just expressing uvelech techavaderech.
Maybe to address Eliyahu's question, yeah. Rashi and Tosfos were using the psukim in other ways to show the kavanah, as we saw yesterday, like until sort of at the
100%.
Level of
Vachla,
meaning that's
100%, 100%. All right.
Based on the idea of the Ravid, is it like
uvelech techavaderech
about like
kavanah? No, uvelech techavaderech, well, on a pshat level, it's like, you say Shema, whether you're on the derech, whether you're at home. So here, when you're saying that pasuk, you can do that while walking, because the walking is not a chisaron of arai; it's rather kiyam of v'lach techavaderech. Look, you do it wherever you go. That's the way I see it. Yeah.
So it's still dafka belief about like because the pasuk is about the derech.
Being in contrast to what?
Kura,
no, for sure, yeah, 100%. Right, the Gemara in Yoma says you can't be merames for the entire first parsha. Yeah, the din of Kriyas Keva is throughout the first parsha. It's a special din in Amida, that the Amida, right, the expression of Keva through Amida is only limited to the first three psukim. Not because the din of Keva is limited to the first three psukim, but specifically because the Amida, you know, is limited to the first three psukim, because the fourth pasuk happens to be Belech Techavaderech, as sort of like a heter to walk, and then the walking will be a kiyum in that pasuk, and not a chisaron of a right. Question? Yeah.
Since when did we say that the first parsha has to be keva? Where did we get that from?
Well, that's the, you know, the Gemara in Yoma, which says that you can't be merames throughout the first parsha, and the Rif, who says you have to be mevatel from malacha, you know, throughout the first parsha, and the Rif's lashon, you know, on Daf Tesla and Aleph, you see, is because of this idea of if it's not a din in kavana, it's a din in kriyas keva versus kriyas rai. But it's important, just to your ha'ara, as I'm going to say this, the Gemara in Yoma, right? The Rif spells out this kriyas keva versus kriyas rai. The Gemara in Yoma does not. The Gemara in Yoma has this chiluk between parsha rishon and parsha shnia. It doesn't say it's a din in kriyas keva versus kriyas rai. Akedei Kaklet, the Rashi, I think Lashi Toso, works out beautifully. A Rashi in our sugya who thinks it's all about kavana. If you look very closely, Rashi, Dir Maskel Perik Rishon, again, this is Yoma Yetesima Beis, right? When Rashi's explaining the chilik between Perik Rishon and Perik Sheni in Yoma Yetesima Beis, says, Perik Rishon, Tzarech Bo Kavana. So Rashi Lashitasu, who thinks that everything is a din in Kavana, also explains the Gemara in Yoma as a din in Kavana. But, right, this Rivid and the Rif, who say this is not this other din Kriyas Keva versus Kriyas Arai, they're going to understand the pshat in Yoma Yetesima Beis, and that's a special din in Kriyas Keva versus Kriyas Arai. That's why the separate shear of Perek Rishon and Perek Sheni. Yeah.
How does Rashi understand
the
separate shear of Yoma? What?
He might have to say something along the lines of like the Rashi. But there's like a sliding scale for different deal. Okay? Just do one more hour and then I'll take questions. Last question that we have on this shita of the Ravid B'Shem the Gaonim. Again, so the Ravid B'Shem the Gaon says it's not a din in Kavana, it's rather a din in Arai versus Keva. What's the kasha from the Gemara? What? Rav Yochanan Shitaso. So now you have to figure out how is the Ravid going to understand the Gemara's tzliya of Rav Yochanan Shitaso? Right, the Gemara says Rav Yochanan shear of Parsha Rishona Veramida is l'shitaso to Rav Yochanan holding that the shear of Kavana is Parsha Rishona. So the Gemara seems to be saying that's all din in Kavana. So how is the Ravid going to understand that Gemara? Okay, very good. So we have two Mahalchim. One of them is Siman Natzi, that's number two. The first answer is that maybe that's limited to what? Shitas Rav Yochanan. Right? Remember, the Ravid B'Shem, the Gaon, is saying Pshat in Rav Yehuda. And maybe he thinks that's a Machlokas Amaran. Maybe the Ravid B'Shem, the Gaon, is going to say, this idea of Amida being a din in Keva versus Arai, maybe that's Davka Shitas Rav Yehuda. Davka Shitas Rav Yehuda, who thinks that the Shir is three Psukim. But in Hanami, Rav Yochanan, who says the Shir is Parsha Rishona, Rav Yochanan thinks it's the shear in Kavana, that Rav Yochanan is the Shitaso, but Rav Yehuda thinks the shear is three psukim, he thinks it's a separate din in Arai versus Keva. Right? So again, one answer for how the Ravid is going to understand this Gemara is going to limit this Gemara and the Tzliya to Rav Yochanan, while the Ravid is going to say, I'm saying pshat in Rav Yehuda. That's one answer. The other answer is exactly like Yisrael David just said. What did you say? What are the key words? Exactly. Is that it's a simen, not a siva. What?
Not sure what the siva is.
Okay, I'll explain. Oh, so I'll tag team. Oh. So the other way to understand it is that when the Gemara says Rav Yochanan l'shitaso, so on a simple level, it's a siva, meaning the same shita of Kavana is a direct, right, is directly responsible for the shita of Amida for Parsha Rishonim, because they're all one din. That would understand it as a siva. But the way the Rabbi is going to understand it, no, it's a simen. Meaning, a simen to what? Maybe a simen to what the Shir Da'oraisa is. So maybe, Rav Yochanan L'shitaso, not because Amida and Kavana are one din, but they're L'shitaso because they're both Nikva by the Shir Da'oraisa, maybe. To say that, right, the same Rav Yochanan thought the Shir Kavana is Parsha Rishona, because maybe that's the Shir Da'oraisa. L'shitaso holds that the Shir of Amida, even though it's a different din in Arai versus Keva, but that's also going to be the shear of Parsha Rishona because that's the shear of Kriyas Shema De'oraisa. So, to sum up, how is the Ravid going to understand this Gemara? So either he's going to limit it to Shitas Rav Yochanan and say that Rav Yochanan thinks it's a din in Kavana, but Rav Yehuda thinks it's a din in Arai. Or he's saying, no, even when the Gemara says Rav Yochanan Shitaso, it doesn't mean because Amida and Kavana are one din, it's a simen. Right, because both Amida and kavana, even though they're two different dinim, but they're both nikva by the same factor of what the shear of Kriya Shema d'Oraisa is. Fine. So Adkan is the first half of shear. Time is a little skewed, right? First half of shear, the sugya of Amida, again, either it's a, right, with Machokes, what the shear was, right, one pasuk, three pasukim, or Parsha Rishona. Machokes about whether is it din in Kavana, or is it a din in Arai, and we, you know, did the analysis that comes out of it. Second half, the second sugya I'd like to do in the next 20 minutes, okay, let's try to do our best, is the sugya of Ne'enas B'Sheina. Avram, do you have the Gemara and your Gimel Veis? So further down in the Gemara and your Gimel Veis, the sugya of falling asleep during Kriya Shema. Oh, is Avram? Oh, yeah, Avram, we'll come back to Avram. Avram is Mivater because he's a tzaddik. So yeah, go for Avram. Not that Avram's not a tzaddik, but you just started reading. Yeah. I'm Ravila. Oh. So what's the member and the name of Rav? Oh, right. So you fall asleep, you're still Yotze. If you fall asleep after Shema Yisrael. Continue, two more members which are related. Right, if you see me falling asleep during the first Pasuk, wake me up, tap me. Right, but afterwards, after Pasuk Rishon, don't bother me. And similarly with Rav Yosef. Right, how did your father Rabbah, what would he do when he was trying to have someone keep him up? Okay, so again, wake him up for the first pasuk, but not for the rest. So again, what emerges from all three of these memories, they don't seem to be arguing, is this idea that Shena after for the first pasuk is fine. But the big machlokas Rishonim is what exactly is the case, right? Pashpshat, Avram, Pashpshat. When the Gemara says that the person falls asleep, so Pashpshat, what's going on? He falls asleep and is completely asleep and doesn't say anything else. So the first mahalach in the sugya, right, the first approach is that in all these cases, only Pasuk Rishon is being recited. And yet, these Amoraim are saying, that's fine. As long as you say the first pasuk, that suffices. So within this first approach, right, that the person is only saying pasuk rishon, the obvious question is, why does pasuk rishon suffice? Why does it suffice? Isn't there for sure a mitzvah to Rabbanan to do all three parshios? Why does pasuk rishon suffice? So we'll call it 1A. What's the first mahalach, right? Ariel, what's the first, you know, mahalach to explain why only pasuk rishon suffices? Yeah, because pasuk rishon is d'oraisa, right? So approach 1A, we'll call it, is that the reason why pasuk rishon suffices is because the sheer kriya shema d'oraisa is pasuk rishon. Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, but the chachamim, meaning all it says is yatsa, right? If you fall asleep, you're yotze. And as Rabbanan are saying, we get to some of the details, that you're only going to wake me up for the d'oraisa, but you know, you don't have to wake me up for the Rambam. So again, the Milchamas, which we keep on, it's the gift that keeps on giving, right? That Ramban, right? The Ramban and Milchamas and Rosh Hashanah, we've seen this in different contexts, but if you pay careful attention, that Milchamas says, how do I know that only Pasuk Rishon is D'Oraisa? And he quotes all these memras. He says the Pshat and all these memras for why your Yotze after you fell asleep and why they didn't require the Evet to wake him up is because you fulfill your mitzvah D'Oraisa with Pasuk Rishon. So the first example of approach 1A that you fulfill with the D'Oraisa is fulfilled with Pasuk Rishon is the Milchamas in Rosh Hashanah. Good. Who is the Rishon in our sugya who also spells this out pretty explicitly? Mm-hmm. Excellent, the Mi'iri. So if anyone have the Mi'iri? So Mi'iri on the spot, Zirun Haskel Amar Shema Yisrael, says this Bifarish, that the only thing that was said is Pasuk Rishon, the person fell asleep completely. Anyone have it?
Yeah.
You got it? David?
Yeah, Amar Shema Yisrael, Rizzo, Omer, Pasuk Rishon, Adesham Ephod.
Kriya Shema.
The
Yetzer
of the Pasuk
Zeh
Mitzvah Cessation.
Afal Pi! That's the key line. Right? Clearly, the Meiri is learning that the Pshat and the Sugya is that the only thing that was read was Pasuk Rishon, yet that suffices because Kriya Shema D'oraisa is limited to Pasuk Rishon. So you have the Machamis, you have the Meiri, and then you have that same Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau, right? The same piece in Rav Perlau that he brings these memros as a raya that Kriya Shema D'oraisa is limited to Pasuk Rishon. So you have the Ramban, you have the Meiri, and this Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau, all saying that the Pshat and the Sugya is that, yen, you only say Pasuk Rishon, yet that suffices because Kriya Shema D'oraisa is limited to Pasuk Rishon. But the reason why this can't be the only Mahalach is because of the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, if you learn this Rambam in isolation, and if you take this Rambam as saying what he means and meaning what he says, right? The Rambam, anyone have the Rambam? The Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel seems to quote the Gemara Kipashis, the guy Mamish falls asleep, as whenever you get a chance. And yet, you fulfill the mitzvah, even though you only read Pasuk Rishon. So you starting with a Hayah Yashin?
Hayah Yashin, it's Aaron Ozo, Ma'ir and Ozo, Achieka, Pasuk Rishon.
Right. Seems very clear. The Rambam paskins that even though the guy falls asleep, and Pashas, again, we'll get to the Kesem Mishnah later, but Pashas of this Rambam, if you don't read it in light of any other later Rambams, the Rambam seems to be saying that falls asleep after Pasuk Rishon, yet it suffices. Why is this problematic for Shitas Rambam? Because the Rambam seems to hold that all three partials are D'oraisa. So while the Ramban and the Meiri and Rav Perlau are able to say, this is perfect! Krishma D'oraisa is Pasuk Rishon. That's not going to work for the Rambam. Right? The Rambam, according to many, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rav, right? Most think that the Rambam thinks that all three partials are D'oraisa. So the big kasha is, wait a second, if all the mitzvah D'oraisa is to say all three partials, how is the Rambam here saying that the Pasuk Rishon suffices? So here you have which Achron, right, develops a Mahalach to answer up for the Rambam? The Rav, right? The Rav in multiple places. We'll start with the Rav in Igros HaGrid. So this is where the Rav in Igros HaGrid, again, this is Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Today I had you see the whole piece, because the whole piece is in the context of this of this Sugya of Shena. And again, Ben, what is the basic Mahalach of the Rav?
The first Pasuk is Chiyuv D'oraisa, and the rest of the Halacha Machshvan, and the rest is Chiyuv.
I wouldn't say it like that. You're saying the Chiyuv Kiyan thing? I wouldn't say it like that. I hear why you're reading. I don't think it's... In the classic Brisker terminology, he says two different dinim. The way the Rav understands it is that there are two dinim, at least the Rav in Igros HaGrit says two dinim. We'll see. Shirim Zech Avimori says there are multiple dinim, right? The way the Igros HaGrit says it, there are multiple dinim. I think they're both chiyuvim. That's why I don't love that formulation, right? The Rav says, no. Yeah, there are two different dinim. There's a mitzvah of kriya for all three partials, but there's a separate mitzvah of Kabbalah's Omach Shamayim for Pasuk Rishon. So says the Rav, again, there are two different dinim. There's a din of Kriyas Gimel Parshios, and then there's a separate din of Kabbalah's Omach Shamayim Al Yidei Pasuk Rishon. And here's the kicker, says the Rav, when you fall asleep, what tour are you subject to? You're subject to the din of Ones. And an ones is putter from all mitzvos. So says the Rav, when you fall asleep, you're really putter from all mitzvos. So therefore, you're putter from the mitzvah d'oraisa of kriyas gimel parshios. But because pasuk rishon is this din of kabbal's omach shemayim, kabbal's omach shemayim renders it like an exception. And therefore, right, although the tur ones is putter a person from most mitzvos, when it comes to the mitzvah kabbal's omach shemayim of pasuk rishon, there we say, make sure someone wakes you up to make sure you're able to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. And says the Rav, this is the pshat also in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And remember, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, again, remember the Brisa said, Shema Yisrael, the first pasuk, Zuhi Kriya Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And what was the maisa of the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? When he's in the middle of giving shir, what's the only part of Kriya Shema? He only said pasuk rishon. So most people bring that as a raya, that what? That Kriya Shema D'oraisa is only pasuk rishon. Says the Rav, no, it's a different pshat. That Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he says, of course hold that all three partials are D'oraisa. But it's just that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Pater, why? Because of Osig B'mitzvah, Pater B'na Mitzvah. And that's why, because he was patur from all mitzvahs, midin osik mitzvah patur in a mitzvah, so that's similar to Onis being patur from all mitzvahs. But in both cases, because of Kabbalah Malkus Shemayim, he said pasuk rishon. So the way the Rav touches up both these Gemaras, both the Shena and the Rebbe Yonasi, in both cases, why does it sound like only pasuk rishon suffices? Because in both cases, there's a patur for all mitzvahs. In our sugya of Shena, it's a patur of Onis. In the sugya of Rebbe Yonasi, it's a patur of Osik Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah. But yet, in both cases, the din of pasuk of Kabbalah O Malkus Shemayim requires you to say pasuk pasuk rishon. There's one more ara. Whenever you have two dinim. Right, it's a classic brisker thing to say, but you always have to. The next step is what are the? There need to be two makoros, right? If there are two dinim, there has to be two distinct psukim. Otherwise, you can't just take a pasuk and chop it in half and call say two dinim. It has to be. Oh, so the Rav doesn't spell this out, but you have to say that the reading of all three partials that comes from which from psukim of b'shach v'chak uvkumecha. And he has to learn that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is a distinct makor for Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim al yidei that first pasuk. So just it's important ha'ara. If you're saying two dinim, you have to be able to point to two different makoros. Yeah. The assumption seems to be that remember we had the Gemara and Chaf. Oh. Of all people, it's actually important that you ask that question. Remember the Gemara, and you'll see in a moment. The Gemara in Chaf on the base as the Havmina. Generally, women are pturos from mitzvahs shizman grama. Now you know what I'm saying, right? But the Havmina of Kabbalah on Malchus Shemayim, that even they would be chayev. Now you're going to tell me, but oh, the Maskana, we reject that, right? So Tzvi showed me from his Rebbe. There's a Bach on that Gemara who reinterprets that Gemara that even the Maskana Nashim are chayavos in Pasuk Rishon, because of Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim. So you see, this idea that Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim is a rule breaker. So just like according to the Bach and Beis Yosef quotes that, B'Shem O Moed, just like the Bach and the Beis Yosef say, that's a rule breaker for the Psura Mitzvah Zeshazman Grama, so too for the Rav, he's going to say that's an exception for Osik Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah, that's an exception for Ones being Patur from Mitzvahs. It's as if I paid you to do that. That was good, right? Okay, good. Only a couple minutes left. So the next approach in the sugya, and the other way to read these memros, is not that the guy falls asleep completely and therefore doesn't say pasuk rishon at all. It's rather what's the alternative way of reading it? What? Exactly, your menam name that you had kavana. Four, and every yeshiva guy can relate to this, right? You have kavanah for the first pasuk, and you start dozing off for the rest of it. You're still up, you're still saying it, but you're dozing, right, in and out. So we're going to see Rishonim say this, and it's fascinating. A lot of the Rishonim who say this are very much l'shitasam, to holding that Kriya Shema De'oraisa is more than the first pasuk. And therefore, if you hold that Kriya Shema D'oraisa is more than the first pasuk, so without that fancy shtickel Torah by the Rav, right? But Pashas, you have to explain the memra as saying, really, right? In these memras, more than one pasuk was said, and we're going to see that's the motivation for several of the Rishonim, right? Explicitly or implicitly, who reinterpret the memra to say, no, really, the rest of the Gimel Parshios was said. It's just the guy was dozing off. Just a little quickly, just because I want to make sure we get it in. So, who's the first Rishon to say this? Before the rush? Earlier? Earlier? Rashi. Look at Rashi very carefully. Rashi diramaskal bitsuka kama tsa'aran. Right? Yeah, would you mind, Ben?
Imri sani minamnim tarani.
So, slow. Imri sani minamnim. First of all, what's the verb that he uses? He changes shena for minamnim. And that's why, how do you see the Gemara and in Psachim, Menamnim is dozing, it's not sleeping, right? And the Gemara in Psachim specifically says, you're up, you respond. You can't give a Svara, but you can respond to a Svara, you can understand the Svara. So Diyuk number one in Rashi is that it uses the verb of Menamnim instead of Shena, and then further,
Ad she'enar yafeh b'pasuk
rishon. Oh, right, Sarini, Ad she'enar yafeh b'pasuk rishon, saying that keep me up so I can have proper kavana for pasuk rishon, Mashmalus meaning, yeah, I'm going to be up for the rest of it, but I won't have proper kavana. So again, the first example of the second mahalach, that you are saying the rest of it is just the chiluk is proper kavana, not proper kavana, is Shitas Rashi. And why is this Rashi l'shitaso? Because what's Shitas Rashi? Parsha Rishona, both from Rashi and Beis Dabin Aleph, and Rashi on Yogim Amin Aleph, hold it to Doraisa. Is more than Pasuk Rishon. So Rashi Lishitaso is not going to want to limit this Gemara that all you said was Pasuk Rishon, and yet you fulfilled your mitzvah Doraisa. That's not Shitas Rashi. Shitas Rashi, both Beis Amin Aleph and Yigim Amin Aleph, so now you can add Rashi and Yigim Amin Beis, all the Shitaso, to holding that Doraisa is past Pasuk Rishon to Parsha Rishona. Shitas Rashi. Good. Next, someone mentioned, let's go to the Rambam, as interpreted by who? Kesa Mishnah. So again, the Kesa Mishnah points to Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, where here the Rambam, with a little bit of a rush, but here the Rambam brings in Minamnim. Right? This is again Beis Yud Beis. It says, Kara Minam Misnamnim, right? V'hu Misha Eino Lo Ar, V'lo Nirdam B'Shena, you're dozing off. Yatzo Bavachi Ar V'Pasak Rishon. So here the Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis does mention this in between. So the Kesa Mishnah learns Halacha Gimel in light of Halacha Yud Beis to say, must be that when the Rambam said Shena in Halacha Gimel, he really means just Minamnim, but really you are saying all the Parshios. And again, this would work out well for Rambam Lishitaso. Because if you hold, right, Rambam holds Pashas that all three Parshios are Da'oraisa. So the easiest way to explain, right, without the Rav's fancy Shtickle Torah, you'd have to say something like the Kesa Mishnah. Again, the problem with the Kesa Mishnah, again, the Rav recognizes, or even quotes the Kesa Mishnah, says, that's not Pashas in the Rambam, right? He's, you know, you're going to read a Rambam nine halachos later. It does seem schwer, but the Kesa Mishnah presumably motivated by the fact that the Kriya Shema Doraisa is more than one, the first pasuk. He says, oh, Rambam must mean that you were saying all three parshios, you just didn't have kavana. Last two Rishonim, then I'll take any questions. Who are the right? So far we have Rashi, we have the Rambam, Lefi, the Kesa Mishnah. We have the Rush, and before the Rush is Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, Rabbeinu Yonah. Again, you can turn to it quickly. Rabbi Yonah, Zayinam and Beis Bedapeg Harif. Again, and we'll see beautifully Rabbi Yonah Lishitaso. So again, I have it on the Ozvahadar Amud Yutes. Anyone have it on this? Have it right already? Gabriel, do you have it? I'll start Omar, do you want to ask Omar Shema Yisrael? Rabbi Yonah says, don't say pshat is that he only said pasuk rishon. How can he be yotze? So he goes on to later say that, oh, must be it's minamnim. Why is this Rabbeinu Yonah l'shitaso? Remember, we had two Rabbeinu Yonahs. One Rabbeinu Yonah on Daf Tes, right, made it sound like the entire first parsha was Doraisa. The other Rabbeinu Yonah on Daf Aleph Medav Erev sounded like two parshios of Doraisa. Either way, right, whichever one you hold, right, either way, it's more than Pasuk Rishon. So Rabbeinu Yonah l'shitaso, right, because either he holds that Pasuk Rishon, Parsha Rishon is Doraisa, or he holds that Shtei Parshios are Doraisa. Either way, it's more than one Pasuk. Therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah, beautifully l'shitaso, says explicitly that the Pshat of the memory can't be that you only say Pasuk Rishon, because then, Heach Yatza, it must be that you don't have Kavana. And the last Rishon that was quoted is the Rush. Right? So the Rush, again, in Perek Beis, Simon Gimel, that same, or at the end of the piece that we were reading earlier, says explicitly that Vahataka Amar Nanas Peshina Yatza, Rotzalomar Shahu Minamnim, Vena Yachol Likros Bechavana Mikan Ve'elach. Right? Miu Hayakoreas Kula. Of course, you read the whole thing, and later on it says, the Milsa de Peshita he Shitzarach Likros Kula. Of course, you have to read the entire thing. So again, to sum up, this will conclude that within these memros, right, the first mahalach is that the guy only read pasuk rishon, two different versions of that. Is that because, oh, that's dor, right, that's the sheer doraisa, or the rav b'shem the rav, that even if he had more doraisa, there's a separate din of kabbalah malchus shemaim. Second mahalach by all the rishonim lushitasam think that the kriya shema doraisa is more than one pasuk. Reinterpret this memra to say that really the person read more than pasuk rishon, it just lacked kavana. We'll stop here.
Yes.